Welcome to the May 23rd, 2017, Sussex County Council meeting. The first thing is the approval of the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I have no recommended amendments for today's agenda.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlette, second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take a vote, Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of May the 16th. Any corrections or questions? Hearing none, those stand approved as read. Correspondence, heavy correspondence, sir?
There is no correspondence this morning.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Public comment, Mr. Guy. Thanks, sir.
Get your page full.
Karen Mary. Karen Mary.
Come on down.
Thank you. Well, my name is Karen Mary, and I'm from the American Legion Auxiliary Unit 28 in Millsboro. I want to thank you for allowing me to come today. Last week, for the first time, I was able to attend the General Assembly in Dover, and both the House of Representatives and the Senate passed a resolution recognizing the month of May as Poppy Month in the state of Delaware. That was a big thing to me. The resolution asked that all citizens wear a memorial poppy in tribute to those who have made the ultimate sacrifice in the name of freedom. I felt so proud to be a resident of Delaware, especially at that time. I feel honored to give each of you a poppy today, and thank you for your service to our community. God bless you and our vets, and God bless America.
Amen. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Devin Manning? She with you. Oh, okay. Well, Paul Rieger.
Good morning. Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road. Just to follow up from the last time I had spoke at the last meeting, the audio came up a little bit from the Board of Adjustment hearing from the last issue. And there's just one part that I like to play back so there's no misconfusion about the fence.
All the way around the dog kennel and dog runs. And the variance in the front yard setback is necessary, as I said at the outset, so that horses are kept and maintained within the area. A 3.5-foot fence is not high enough to keep horses safely in a pasture. The third factor is whether or not it was created by the applicant.
That was strictly for the fence coming before, for the variance. Like I keep saying, is I don't understand how come that had to come in there. Either the director should have the power to approve the fence or not approve the fence. One hand, I'm over 5 feet, or however it goes on the fence. The fencing, you can't have it both ways. I can't have the barbed wire fence over 5 feet or whatever, and then say another fence, another person needs a variance. And also, too, to look at, and it came up with doing the research, was the property, and I looked at Mrs. Kershaw's, who had passed away last year, the Board of Adjustment for the stockade fence that was put in front of her house last year, or a couple of 2 years ago, however long it was. Then there was a second thing that came in for another variance after that that says fences again. Just trying to understand, if somebody comes in, like I said, and these are perfectly two examples that keep happening, is if you come in for a fence under one reasoning for it, as soon as that use stops, does the fence that went over that 3.5 foot have to be removed, or does it stay? But it's just like there's still so many conflicts in the fence code that we have it, that we can follow over, go through, make it to come in and make logical sense for the height limit, have it fair for everybody, and take care of it. The only way that I can see that this can be rectified is to have the discussion before the next meeting, whether they are, before it comes back up, before the Board of Adjustments on the 5th, to have them two taken out and delete it and have it approved or disapproved by the director as it states in our code. Also, too, to solve a little bit with the Board of Adjustment thing, a while ago, a few months ago, on their agenda, they had put discussion for rules of procedure. I still can't find anywhere on the internet for the rules of procedure, for what they're following for different things. I can find the state code, but I don't have nothing laid out like the council has their laid out rules of procedure. The planning and zoning has their rules of procedure laid out. I just like that followed in that nature so we all understand exactly what everybody's doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Dan Kramer.
He's back. Welcome back.
Thank you. My name is Dan Kramer. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Since I've been not here for a while, you guys didn't get no better looking. But I'm going to tell you something. I found out a few things. Wheelchairs, canes, walkers, you name it. I've been on it. And it made me really think about this building. Handicap accessible? Oh yeah, it is. But this room ain't. And I guarantee you, if you come in here with a crutches, how you gonna get through this door? How you gonna get through that door if you're on crutches? You're gonna have a terrible time. If you're on a wheelchair, how you gonna get through them doors? Without somebody helping it. And particularly if you've got a leg that's straight out, you won't be able to reach it. You won't be able to pull on it. So you're going to have to beg somebody to open them doors. I would highly suggest that you fix them things so that you can push a button to get through. Because I found out a few things in the last month. I'm going to tell you something. It don't take much in a wheelchair to stop you dead in the tracks. And when you want to get to point A to point B for a certain reason, you better be able to move. And when you're on crutches, same principle. You got to force it. And if there's nobody around to help you at all, you're in a heap of trouble. So I would suggest you fix them doors.
Thank you, sir, for your comments. Next thing was the American Legion Post. We already had that, I assume, under public comment. Do you have anything else to bring to us? That you made your statement in public comment, right? Okay, thank you. And again, thank you for all you do. Presentation by Housing Alliance Delaware regarding Delaware challenge to end veterans homelessness. Good morning.
Randy, will you spread those mics out a little bit, please? We're getting some feedback. I think these are really hot up here, Amanda. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
So you may recall that in June of 2015, our office came before you to request that Sussex County sign on to a national initiative known as the Mayor's Challenge to End Veteran Homelessness. In addition to Sussex County, five other local municipalities also signed on to the challenge. Those were Blades, Bridgeville, Georgetown, Greenwood, and Seaford. And there was also participation across the state, including at the state level, thanks to former Governor Markell, Newcastle County, Kent County, the City of Dover, City of Wilmington, and Newark. We worked cooperatively with the Delaware State Housing Authority, the Homeless Planning Council, town officials, faith-based and nonprofit homeless service providers to create a Sussex County working group. That group then reported back regularly to the state level, where ideas, frustrations, and lessons learned were shared. It was remarkable to see the network of relationships and partnerships formed because of this initiative. We are a small state, but organizations and agencies were working in silos. We helped make introductions that will ultimately improve and enhance the speed of which homeless individuals are housed. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Rachel Stucker, Associate Director with the Housing Alliance Delaware. Housing Alliance Delaware is the agency formed by the merger of the Homeless Planning Council and the Delaware Housing Coalition. Rachel will provide an overview of the state's accomplishments, data and numbers, lessons learned, and the work left to do.
Thank you, Brandy. Good morning. Thank you so much for letting me come here and talk with you all today. I'm going to go through some slides here, present some data But I do want to start by saying congratulations. We're here in part because as of a few weeks ago, 100 homeless veterans since January 2015 are no longer homeless in Sussex County. So we're very excited about the progress that we've made throughout the state and in Sussex County in particular. This challenge was really taken on in the beginning of 2015, and by the end of 2016, almost 2 years later, Delaware received official word from the United States Interagency Council on Homelessness, which was a federal interagency group that was determining progress for communities throughout the country. They officially certified Delaware as having effectively ended veteran homelessness. We were lucky enough to be joined on Veterans Day in 2016 by then Vice President Joe Biden, then HUD Secretary Julian Castro, and Governor Markell and others to celebrate Veterans Day and also to memorialize that accomplishment. So I want to talk a little bit about what it means to end veteran homelessness. When we talk about ending homelessness, it doesn't mean that no one's ever going to experience a housing crisis again. People may lose their jobs. People may have medical emergencies. Unfortunately, people may have unstable or unsafe home life situations that they need to flee from. So people are going to still have crises and experience homelessness. But what it means that we've effectively ended veteran homelessness, it means that if there is someone who has served in the armed forces, who's in our communities anywhere here in the state of Delaware, we have a system in place where we can identify them quickly. We have the resources in place that we can quickly connect them to help them get the services and permanent housing resources that they need. So this really was a statewide effort. As Brandy mentioned, there were working groups formed in different communities throughout the state. So we had a statewide working group that really looked at things at the state level, and then there were local working groups in each county and community that had taken on the challenge. And they were active, and they were meeting on a bi-weekly basis, which, as you can imagine, is very intensive for people who have full-time jobs or are volunteering to do this work. So people were very, very dedicated. We also set very clear goals. So, for example, in Sussex County, it might have been, you know, in the next 100 days, we are going to house 20 veterans who are homeless in Delaware. So there were very, very specific goals, and we were able to use data at the local level and state level to track progress so we would know if we were meeting our goals. It was a very goals-driven process. We also know who all of our homeless veterans are in Delaware at any given time. We keep a by-name master list so that if Joe is a homeless veteran, we know who Joe is. And we are tracking what's happening to Joe so that Joe doesn't fall through the cracks and end up not getting connected to the services and resources that Joe needs. We also partnered very closely with private landlords, engaged a lot of local landlords throughout the state, asking them to help us house veterans who are experiencing homelessness, whether that involved using a voucher, whether that involved some temporary assistance until that person was able to access employment and pay their own rent. We were really reaching out to the people who had the housing that our homeless veterans needed. Another main part of our strategy was to look at what resources we had in the state, whether they're local resources, state resources, or federal resources, and make sure that we were using them in the right and most effective way, which was very important. And we really focused on making sure that if there was a veteran in need of housing assistance who was experiencing homelessness, that they knew where to call for help. And we really focused on getting them back into permanent housing as quickly as possible. If you see in the bottom right-hand corner of that slide, that was something that was actually developed by the Sussex County Working Group. It was an idea, and that ended up being printed and distributed to veterans throughout the state of Delaware. That's the VA hotline, where if they call and say they're homeless, they'll get connected to a local resource quickly. So just some data. So this is data for over 2 years of time, from January 2015 to 2017. So during that time, over 450 veterans who experienced homelessness in Delaware were housed. And as of January of this year, there were still approximately 100 veterans homeless in the state. So at any given time, we're always at about that 100 level, but we're moving people through quickly and getting them connected. So as new veterans become homeless, others are exiting back into permanent housing. You'll see that about 85% of the veterans who experienced homelessness during that two-year period of time were male and 15% female veterans. If you look at, in the bottom left-hand corner, number four, veterans housed by county, you'll see Sussex County housed 22% of the veterans that were housed during that time, totaling 100 as of January 2017. And the last slide, oh, and it looks like those were out of order, my apologies. Number three, homeless veterans by household type. Most were single adults at 427, but there were a number of families with children as well as adult couples. So out of that approximately 450 homeless veterans, 35 of them were an adult couple without a child. And I don't know how much you all know about the system of homeless services available in Delaware, but adult couples usually aren't eligible for single adult shelters together, and because they don't have minor children are also not eligible for family shelters. So that population, if they don't want to split up and go different places, are actually can be very difficult to serve. Okay, next. So currently in Sussex County, there are still some veterans experiencing homelessness at 14 as of last week, seven of whom were in a shelter and seven of whom were living outside, whether that's in a tent or in a park or on the street somewhere or in a car. Of those, 12 are single adults and two are members of a family that has a child. Nine are male and five are female. And eight out of the 14 have a diagnosed disabling condition. So I want to actually pause here real quick and ask, can I just ask Susan to come up? So we have another guest with us today, Susan Kent. She is the executive director of Love, Inc. of Greater Delmarva, and they do a lot of work with folks in need in Sussex County and folks who are experiencing homelessness, and she brought a story with her to share about a veteran who was assisted through this effort.
Thank you. Council, it's a pleasure to be here and share with you. This is a national effort that meets grassroots, and I think when you have that combination, you can see a difference in transformation. I'm going to share with you one of the stories of these homeless veterans. As you know, Love, Inc. of Mid-Delmarva oversees the Code Purple shelters in Sussex County, and a single father with two young children, a veteran, also worked with the Department of Corrections and was a former police officer, state trooper. Became homeless. It was a situational homeless situation that he could not move into housing right away. It would be at least 30 days. As Rachel just shared, housing, you know, there's different types of homelessness, and housing a single father presents a problem because we have women and children, we have male, and we have female shelters. So this was a unique situation, and we were thankful. I was thankful that Brandy Nauman had invited me into the working group for Sussex County. It was a very active group. As Rachel said, we met biweekly, and relationships with the different partners, all the different partners, state and nonprofit, government, faith-based, which is where I'm from. And so I was able to use those resources learned from that to connect him to SSVF, which is someone that helps veterans with the housing. And in the meantime, while we were waiting for that housing to come available, Code Purple was able to keep the single father and his two young sons sheltered. And he wrote a letter of thanks and gratitude, a nice letter, just thanking everyone. He's housed through this program and this initiative, and that's just one of, you know, that's just one story of gratefulness. It was a good effort.
Thank you, Susan. So a lot of really great work has been done to help resolve homelessness for those who have served for our country. But the work is really hard. Part of the reason why the work is really hard is, of course, because of limited resources, but also because everyone's kind of doing their own thing here and there. And so bringing all the partners to the table, coordinating, there's still a lot of work to do. Obviously, we're talking today about people who are experiencing homelessness who are veterans, but we continue to face a problem here in Delaware of people, citizens, neighbors who maybe aren't veterans experiencing homelessness. So I just wanted to, so we've accomplished a lot with the veteran population, and one of the things that we're all excited to do is think about how we can take this model and apply it to other populations to make sure that absolutely no one gets left behind in our communities. So I did want to throw out a couple more statistics about homelessness generally, not just veteran homelessness. So each year our agency coordinates the annual point in time count. You may or may not have heard of it. It is a snapshot of who's experiencing homelessness in Delaware. We use data from the data system that we manage that all of the shelters and homeless providers put information into. We also send teams out to do surveys with folks who may not be in shelters. And so as the 2017 point in time report has not yet been officially released, it will be in a few weeks here. But our Sussex numbers are that there are approximately 137 people who are homeless in Sussex County at any given time. So that's people who are sleeping in emergency shelters, transitional housing, temporary places, or sleeping outside. And that's about 13.5% of the total number of people experiencing homelessness in Delaware at any given time. During the winter, we are lucky enough to have a couple of faith-based providers, churches, open their doors to people who need a place to sleep at night so that folks don't freeze to death in the weather. So when you include Emmanuel Shelter and Code Purple beds in the number of shelter beds available in Sussex County, it's about 11% of the emergency shelter beds throughout the state. Obviously, those beds are not available year-round. So in the warmer weather in the summertime, from probably about March to November, there are much fewer emergency shelter beds in Sussex County. So the rate of beds goes down to about 8.5%. Shelter is not the only thing that we want to talk and think about when we're talking about homelessness. We really want to be getting people out of shelter quickly and back into housing of their own in the community. But I wanted to point out some of this most recent data. This is the type of data that we look at on an annual basis. And so there is still a lot of work to do. I'll just close with one piece, a success story here from someone who has served in the Code Purple shelters over... this is from the director of the Code Purple program. And she writes, "This year we had the pleasure of getting to know a young lady battling with heroin addiction. She came to us in the beginning of her recovery after being in an outpatient program. She was very open about her journey. She had finally had enough and wanted to get her life straight and be reunited with her children. We provided her at Code Purple with a consistent meal, a place to lay her head, and most importantly, a family to laugh and cry alongside her. She was able to continue in her sobriety throughout the season because of having that stability. Not very long before the last week of the Code Purple season, one of her many applications to sober living was approved. She was excited when we picked up her items from the tent and took her to this new house. She's now living in this house and working on putting the pieces of her life back together." So thank you very much for having me here today. And I'm happy to...
Does anybody
any
have
questions?
Any questions for Rachel?
It's a state agency?
Correct. Yeah. The agency that I work for? Yes. Mm-hmm. Housing Alliance Delaware is a statewide agency. We have an office in Wilmington and Dover.
And there's about 2,000 approximately people in the state that are homeless?
On any given night, we're at about 1,000, and we've stayed consistent over the last few years, hovering a little above, a little below 1,000 on any given night. Approximately 3,000 people, including adults and children, will be in a shelter at some point throughout the year. So that's emergency shelter or transitional housing.
Is it not true that most people are given preference and get the job because they're veterans? Is it not true that most people that's given a preference in getting a job?
It is possible, yes. So there are employers that do give preference to veterans who are looking for
employment. And I understand a lot of them is probably on drugs from being overseas in combat.
Possibly. Everyone has kind of a different story.
Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, some are veterans from the Vietnam era, some are veterans from more recent times, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, certainly.
Question? I'm sorry.
Charlotte.
No.
Go ahead.
I apologize. I was just going to question then a comment, and I apologize, Mr. President. I just a question, kind of a follow-up to Mr. Wilson, and that is, it's instrumental, man, what you all are doing. I think we all know that. Nobody wants to be homeless, let alone our veterans who volunteer to go give up their life. So the question that I had actually is the homelessness is step one, is off of the streets, but step two would be the employment piece. Are you connecting them to resources to provide a long-term strategy and a long-term solution as well?
Sure. So many of the resources that folks are connected to include both housing assistance and case management assistance and services. And part of that is, you know, sometimes the person may have employment lined up, they just haven't started yet. Other times there's a need for employment assistance. Other times the person's on SSI disability assistance and isn't going to be able to work. So it really depends. But employment, if someone needs assistance accessing employment, that service is provided to them, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the comment was, I think it's very appropriate that you're here as we heading into Memorial Day weekend. I think, obviously, we're honoring those who've lost their life. And I would say you are honoring those that have lost their dignity. And so I think you should never forget what you were doing is so very critical, because dignity is, and military folks are so very prideful. Mm-hmm. They don't typically ask for help. And so what you're doing is very vital and very important. So thank you for giving them their dignity again.
Thank you.
Have you ever considered Teen Challenge from Seaford?
I'm not familiar with that.
Well, it's a 88% program against 20-some percent against state programs. State programs fail compared to Teen Challenge.
It's addiction program.
Oh, okay.
Addiction, yes. We said a lot of these military men come back, end up on, are addicted.
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any more questions from council? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lawson.